والذين كفروا بآيات الله ولقائه أولئك يئسوا من رحمتي وأولئك لهم عذاب أليم.
Those who disbelieved in Allah's signs and in meeting Him, it is they who have despaired of my mercy. It is they for whom a painful chastisement lies ahead. Those who disbelieved in Allah's signs and in meeting Him, it is they who have despaired of my mercy.
This means that obdurate unbelievers will have no portion of God's mercy. In fact, they have no reason to entertain any such expectation. The fact is that the unbelievers deny the hereafter. They do not even recognize that a day will come when they will have to stand before God for His judgment. This clearly means that, to start with, they do not even look forward to receiving any reward in the next life, and that they entertain no expectation of God's forgiveness and mercy. However, on the day of judgment, when they will be brought back to life, which is, in any case, altogether contrary to their expectations, they will have no opportunity to receive any portion of God's mercy. Moreover, when they open their eyes in the hereafter, they will come face to face with the divine signs which they had rejected in this world as utterly false, and which they will come to know were true. There will, therefore, be no reason for them to look forward to God's mercy.
فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا اقْتُلُوهُ أَوْ حَرِّقُوهُ فَأَنْجَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ النَّارِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ
The people of Abraham, peace be upon him, had no other answer than to say, "Kill him or burn him." But Allah delivered him from the fire. There are many signs in this for those who believe. The people of Abraham, peace be upon him, had no other answer than to say,
"This marks the resumption of the Prophet Abraham's story, peace be upon him.
Kill him or burn him."
The Prophet Abraham's people had no reasonable response to his weighty arguments. Their only answer was, "Kill him or burn him." They said this because they were not ready to listen to the person who spoke the truth, who pointed out their errors, and asked them to distance themselves from them. It is clear from their response that they were all united about putting the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, to death. They differed only as regards to the mode of killing. Some suggested that he be murdered, while others preferred that he be burned alive. In the end, the latter option was chosen in an attempt to make an example of Abraham, peace be upon him, that would deter others from championing the truth with such zeal and single-mindedness.
But Allah delivered him from the fire.
The wording of the verse implies that they finally decided to burn the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, alive, and that he was so hurled into a fire.
The Quran, however, confines itself to stating that he was rescued. Elsewhere, the Quran clarifies that by God's command, the fire became cool and safe for Abraham. We said, "O fire, become coolness and safety for Abraham." Al-Anbiya 21:69. Had Abraham, peace be upon him, not actually been thrown into the fire, this command would be meaningless. The truth that emerges from this incident is that all things owe their properties to God's command. He may alter the property of a thing as and when he wills. In the normal course of things, fire's property is to burn, and when a combustible object is cast into it, it is reduced to ashes. This property to burn is part of a system that God has instituted. This fact does not, however, prevent God from ever issuing a command in violation of the normal pattern that he has devised. Being the Lord of fire, as of everything else, he can command fire to cease burning. It is within his power to transform an inferno into a blooming garden. True, such things are out of the ordinary and are a deviation from the normal order of things and happen only rarely. Moreover, when they do take place, they do so for some overriding reason. Nevertheless, there is no basis to believe that God's power is circumscribed by the bounds of normal occurrences or to think that nothing beyond the ordinary can ever take place by God's command.
There are many signs in this for those who believe.
There are signs for the believers in the Prophet Abraham's example, peace be upon him. Rather than cling to the false religion of his family, his people, and his country, Abraham, peace be upon him, opted to follow the truth as soon as it dawned upon him that polytheism was nothing but falsehood, whereas monotheism was the quintessence of truth. Once Abraham, peace be upon him, realized this, he ceaselessly preached that people should give up polytheism and embrace monotheism. He did so in utter disregard of the obduracy and bigotry of his people. So deep was his devotion to monotheism that he refused to relinquish it even when hurled into a blazing fire. There are also God's signs in the fact that he made his prophets, including Abraham, peace be upon him, undergo certain tests so as to establish their mettle. There is also God's sign in the fact that after Abraham, peace be upon him, had successfully passed through the tests to which God had subjected him, he assisted Abraham so gloriously that the cauldron of fire into which he had been hurled was miraculously made cool.
وقال إنما اتخذتم من دون الله أوثانا مودة بينكم في الحياة الدنيا ثم يوم القيامة يكفر بعضكم ببعض ويلعن بعضكم بعضا ومأواكم النار وَمَا لَكُم مِّن نَّاصِرِينَ
He said, You have taken up idols instead of Allah as a bond of love among yourselves in the present life. But on the day of resurrection, you will disown and curse one another. Your refuge shall be the fire, and none will come to your aid. He said,
It appears from the context that the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, would have addressed his people in these words only after he was miraculously saved from the fire.
You have taken up idols instead of Allah as a bond of love among yourselves in the present life.
The nucleus of their collective life was devotion to idols rather than to God. The fact is that even devotion to idols can provide a workable basis for bringing about worldly cohesion among a people. This, because people can be brought together by any cause, gathering around both true and false beliefs as they do. Moreover, any kind of cohesion and unity, even if it is founded on a false proposition, can serve as a means to foster and sustain friendships, family ties, and vocational bonds, as also provide a basis for religious, social, cultural, economic, and political fellowship.
But on the day of resurrection, you will disown and curse one another.
The unbelievers are told that their social structure, based as it is on a false proposition, will not endure in the hereafter. The only bonds that will endure, bonds of friendship, cooperation, kinship, and reverential discipleship, will be those based on servitude to the one true God, and on righteous conduct and piety. In the next world, bonds rooted in unbelief, polytheism, misguidance, and waywardness will cease to be. In fact, friendships in this world will turn into enmity. All those who are bound in devotion to those they revere will become enemies to one another. Father and son, husband and wife, and teacher and disciple will curse each other. Each of them will blame the other for his error and demand that the latter be given double the punishment for having misguided him. The Quran states this at several places. The following are illustrative. On that day, even bosom friends shall become enemies to one another, all except the God-fearing. Al-Zukhruf 43:67. As a nation enters hell, it will curse the one that went before it, and when all are gathered there, the last of them shall say of the first, Our Lord, these are the ones who led us astray. Let their torment be doubled in hellfire. Al-Araf 7:38. They will say, Our Lord, we obeyed our chiefs and our great ones, and they turned us away from the right way. Our Lord, mete out to them a double chastisement and lay upon them a mighty curse. Al-Azab
33:67-68. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ
Then did Lot believe him, and Abraham said,
I am emigrating unto my Lord. He is all-powerful, all-wise.
Then did Lot believe him?
The sequence of the discourse indicates that the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, made these remarks after he was miraculously delivered from the fire. Among those present, however, Lot, peace be upon him, was the only one to come forward and declare his belief in Abraham, peace be upon him, and pledge to follow him. Presumably, many others too were persuaded to believe in the truth of Abraham's message. However, the hostility that the whole nation, as well as the state, generally displayed towards Abraham's teaching was ferocious. Thanks to that, no one other than Lot, peace be upon him, the prophet Abraham's nephew, could muster the courage to follow his way, which seemed beset with risks. It was Lot's unique privilege that he publicly accepted his uncle Abraham's message and later accompanied his uncle and aunt Sarah when they migrated for God's cause. We should stop here for a moment to dispel one misperception whereby some people are bound to ask, did Lot indulge in unbelief and polytheism before witnessing the prophet Abraham's rescue from the fire? Did he embrace faith only after this miraculous incident? If this were the case, can anyone who once committed polytheism be designated to the august office of prophethood? The Quran only says the following about Lot. Then did Lot believe him? These words do not necessarily mean that before this miraculous event, Lot disbelieved in God or associated others with God in his divinity. What is stated here is simply that after Abraham's rescue from the fire, Lot testified to the truth of his mission and pledged to follow him. It is also likely that he was then only a youth who, for the first time, came to know about his uncle's mission and his exalted status as God's messenger.
And Abraham said, I am emigrating unto my Lord.
Abraham, peace be upon him, migrated for the sake of his Lord and expressed his readiness to go wherever God wanted him to.
He is all-powerful, all-wise.
Abraham, peace be upon him, reiterated his conviction that God, being all-powerful and all-wise, will protect him in the best possible manner, and his infinite wisdom will choose for him the land to which he should migrate.
وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِ النُّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابَ وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَجْرَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ
And we bestowed upon him offspring like Isaac and Jacob, peace be upon them, and bestowed prophethood and the book on his descendants, and granted him his reward in this world. He will certainly be among the righteous in the hereafter.
And we bestowed upon him offspring like Isaac and Jacob, peace be upon them.
The prophets Isaac and Jacob, peace be upon them, were respectively Abraham's son and grandson. His other sons are not mentioned here because only the prophet Shu'aib, peace be upon him, was raised as God's messenger among the Midianite branch of Abraham's descendants. As for the Ishmaelite branch, no messenger was raised among them for another 2,500 years until the advent of the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. In contrast, Isaac's descendants continued to be favored with messengers and scriptures until the advent of the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him.
And bestowed prophethood and the book on his descendants.
This includes all prophets raised among the various branches of the prophet Abraham's descendants, peace be upon him.
And granted him his reward in this world. He will certainly be among the righteous in the hereafter.
The purpose of this statement is to stress that the rulers, the clergy, and the polytheists of Babylon, who sought to degrade the prophet Abraham's call and blindly followed the wrongdoers in opposing it, had all disappeared, and no trace of them could be found. However, the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, whom they had tried to burn alive for his crime of upholding God's word, and who was also forced into exile in a state of utter helplessness, was immensely exalted by God. This is borne out by the fact that for the last 4,000 years he has remained a highly renowned figure in world history, a position he will enjoy till the end of time. All Jews, Christians, and Muslims unanimously regard him as their patriarch and religious guide. His message has been instrumental in providing direction to mankind for the last 4,000 years. Besides the invaluable rewards that will be his in the hereafter, Abraham's renown in this world too is unrivaled, being quite incomparable to those who hanker after material gain and fame.
وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْعَالَمِينَ
We sent Lot, and he said to his people, You commit the abomination that none in the world ever committed before you. We sent Lot.
Al-Araf 7:80-84, Hud 11:69-83, Al-Hijr 15:57-79, Al-Anbiya 21:71-75, Al-Shu'ara 26:160-175, Al-Naml 27:54-58, Al-Safat 37:133-138, and Al-Qamar 54:33-40.
أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ وَتَقْطَعُونَ السَّبِيلَ وَتَأْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرُ فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا ائْتِنَا بِعَذَابِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ
What? Do you go to men to satisfy your lust, engage in highway robbery, and commit evil deeds in your gatherings? Then they had no answer to offer other than to say, Bring Allah's chastisement upon us if you are truthful. What? Do you go to men to satisfy your lust?
They made males a means for the gratification of their sexual desires. This point is also made elsewhere in the Quran as follows. You approach men lustfully in place of women. Al-Araf 7:81.
Engage in highway robbery and commit evil deeds in your gatherings.
Not only did they commit shameful acts, they did so publicly. The same reproach against them features in another verse, whereby we sent Lot, peace be upon him, and recall when he told his people, Do you commit shameless acts with your eyes open? Al-Naml 27:54.
قال رب انصرني على القوم المفسدين
Lot, peace be upon him, said, My Lord, aid me against these mischievous people.